Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, and verses 19 through 25. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of our Lord. As I prepared for our sermon this past week and prayerfully read over our scripture passages, I was struck by one of the verses in our Old Testament reading. The verse where Hannah is talking to the priest Eli. She's telling him that she's in great distress. And more specifically, when she says that she was pouring her soul out to God. I was struck by that verse and deeply moved because it conjured up images of what it really looks like to pour one's soul out before the Lord, what it actually takes to get us to that place where we do finally pour our soul out to God. For most of us, it takes going through times of extreme distress to get us to that place of vulnerability where we do finally break down and we pour our heart and soul out to God. It takes us hitting a wall before we realize that we can no longer do it all on our own. And we empty ourselves of all our woes, and we place all of our fears and our worries in God's hands. Such was the case for Hannah, who we are told in our Old Testament reading was completely distraught over the fact that she was barren. She was utterly consumed by the fact that she couldn't conceive a child. In ancient Israel, motherhood was the epitome of accomplishments for women. Not being able to conceive a child was viewed as a sign of punishment from God, or God's displeasure with you. Also, in such a patriarchal culture, childbearing was a woman's only unique ability. So not being able to conceive a child was cause for great shame. To make matters worse, Hannah was taunted by her husband's other wife, Peninnah, who had been able to conceive several children. She was taunted and ridiculed by her for years, which had driven Hannah to the point of such distress that she could no longer eat. She would spend her days weeping. As I read over our passage from 1 Samuel this week, it conjured up images in my own mind when I've experienced situations similar to Hannah's, times when I've experienced extreme distress, situations that have broken me down, made me exceedingly vulnerable and astutely aware of my absolute dependence on God. And I'm sure that all of us can relate to Hannah's story in our own way. We have all gone through times of heartache and despair, times when fears and worries have overwhelmed us, times when we couldn't see an end in sight to the pain and suffering. The good news of our faith, though, is that we are not left in those places, and we are not left on our own to wander through the agonizing and difficult situations of life. God's promise to all of us is a promise of refuge and protection, a promise to help us in our times of distress and to deliver us from our anguish. We see that promise come to fruition with Hannah in our Old Testament passage. Once Hannah did break down from the distress of not being able to conceive a child and from the taunting of her husband's other wife, she clasped her hands together in prayer and she poured her soul out to God. And when she did, the Lord heard her prayers, and he answered her. He delivered her from her anguish. God delivered her from her anguish by blessing her with a child. Likewise, when we experience our own times of great distress and pour our souls out to God, the Lord hears our prayers and will deliver us from our anguish. Now, God may not answer our prayers the exact way we would like. God may not deliver us in the same way that we would hope, but God does keep his promise to us and delivers us and helps us in our time of need. There was a movie that came out just this past Friday called The 33. It's the true story of the event that occurred on August 5th in 2010 in San Jose, Chile, when 33 miners were busy at work mining in a cave about 2,300 feet below the Earth's surface. And the cave collapsed, and it trapped the men in there. For 69 days, those men were trapped underground. Imagine just for a minute the distress that they must have been experiencing. For 69 days, they went through the agony of not knowing if they would ever be rescued, not knowing if they would die of dehydration or starvation, or if the cave would collapse in even further and crush them to death. Imagine the heartache and despair they must have felt as they imagined never seeing their families again, or all the other fears and worries that must have consumed them each and every single one of those days. During their time of great distress, they called out to God. The movie depicts the men pouring their souls out to God and emptying themselves of their fears and their worries. The astonishing part of this true story is that when those men were rescued, after 69 days of being trapped underground, all 33 of them were rescued out of that cave to safety without any sort of physical injuries. The last clip of the movie, it shows a wall in the cave where the men were confined. And etched into that wall is the date when the cave collapsed and then the date when they were rescued. Below those dates, it says, God was with us. God is always with us during our times of distress. And as we pour our souls out to him, he hears our prayers and he helps us in our time of need. Karl Barth once said, to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against any disorder in the world. That was the case for those 33 miners as they prayed for 69 days to be rescued and returned to their families. As they clasped their hands together in prayer and cried out for God to save them, there was an uprising against the disorder they were facing. In just the same way, when we clasp our hands together in prayer, it is the beginning of our uprising against any disorder we may be facing in our lives. As our passage this morning conjures up images of those times in our lives when we have experienced great distress, and as we begin to recall God's faithfulness to us in those times, such knowledge should evoke a compulsion within us to want to give back to God, to want to thank him for the ways that he has helped us in our lives, to offer something in return. It should create within us a genuine spiritual conviction where we felt compelled to make sacrifices in our lives for him. In our Old Testament reading, Hannah felt compelled to make a huge sacrifice in her life to God. She ended up sacrificing the very thing that she was so earnestly praying for. She gave her son up. She gave her son back to God. For Hannah, she had experienced God's faithfulness in such a monumental way that she was willing to sacrifice the very thing that she desired most in life. This morning, I have a short, funny story that I wanted to share with you all. It's about a worship service that did occur in a church deep in the heart of Georgia. And the worship service was on Pentecost Sunday. So as the parishioners showed up on that Sunday, the ushers of the church greeted them. They handed them a red carnation to signify the presence of the Spirit and to celebrate the festive spirit of that day. So the parishioners grabbed the carnations, they packed into their pews, And the preacher started the worship service. And he started it by reading a passage from the book of Acts about how the disciples were gathered in the upper room and how this noisy rush of wind surrounded them in this room, and that the Spirit of the Lord appeared like tongues of fire. So after the reading, the preacher started his sermon, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon us." And the woman in the first pew, she interrupted him, and she yelled out, "Like the mighty rushing wind of heaven." She threw a red carnation on the altar. So the pastor started again, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon us." And the same woman interrupted him, and she said, "Like the tongues of fire, like the tongues of fire." And she threw a red carnation on the altar. So this time, the pastor responded. He said, "Ma'am, if you are feeling so convicted this morning, then go ahead and throw your pocketbook up on that altar." The woman replied. She said, "Pastor, you have just calmed those winds and you have put that fire out." We laugh at stories like these, but they are so true. There are certain things in our lives that we are willing to give up, that we are willing to throw on that altar and to sacrifice for God. And then there are things that we are not. We are not willing to give up certain things in our lives. Hannah's story serves as a model for our own lives, the types of sacrifices that we should be willing to make for God, responding to God's faithfulness by giving up the very things that we desire most in life. And since this is our second Sunday of our stewardship season, then I am forced to remind you of how we are to make sacrifices in our lives for God with our money. Last week, I talked to you all about how Harry and Polly and Mike and myself met a couple weeks ago to review our budget for 2016, and we were able to shave off several thousand dollars from some areas. I also told you how if our pledge amount this year was to stay the same as it was last year, then there would still be a deficit of $37,000. So we need to raise $37,000 more this year than we did last year. Now this week, I have some good news for you. The good news is that several pledges have come in, and there are several people who have increased their pledge for this year. There are several people who have been willing to make more sacrifices in their lives for God and for this church. But it takes all of us working together and making those sacrifices to meet our goal. It takes all of us making significant sacrifices in our lives to ensure the future of our church. As our scripture reading this morning conjured up images of those times in our lives when we have experienced great distress, times when we have poured our soul out to God, and as we remember God's faithfulness to us during those times, may such knowledge evoke a compulsion within us to want to make sacrifices in our lives for God and for this church. May it create such a genuine spiritual conviction like it did for Hannah, where she was willing to sacrifice the very thing that she desired most in her life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.